Hey there, Friday Night Movie family. You are listening to a very special South by Southwest episode of the Friday Night Movie podcast. Tune in for all of the exciting interviews we have coming to you this week and beyond. And if you're at the festival, we hope you're having an amazing time. We are at South by Southwest with the cast and creators, filmmakers behind truly one of the best movies we saw this year. It's called Audrey. We have with us Natalie Bailey, director, Lou Sons, writer, Jeremy Lindsay Taylor, Josie and Hannah, who play the siblings. Yep,
first dysfunctional pair of siblings you will ever on the planet, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. You really are. We are siblings, and you really, you guys, you all, I think, make a great campaign for maybe worst siblings ever. Yeah, we try to be good.
Thank you so much. We worked hard on that.
We're
making campaigns
for
IUDs. Yeah. Okay, so Audrey, this movie is, the way I would describe it is hilarious and fearless. And in watching this movie, we were genuinely jealous by seeing, Becky's reaction was, these people made their movie.
Yeah, I need to gush for a minute because as I'm watching it, I'm just getting so amped up about how willing everyone is in the writing, in the directing, in the performances to go to such a dark place, but keeping it so funny. And you just don't really get that anymore. I can't think of a reference because I don't have another movie that brought me to such a dark place so effortlessly, so willingly, so hilariously. From the opening, I loved it.
I just feel like that needs to be the tagline on the book.
Yes.
Becky said,
a family drama just like with a wonderful twist on it, with a wonderful dark twist.
So, okay. You're a family, so feel free to interrupt each other and interrupt us. Yeah. But we will start with the director, with Natalie. I felt like in watching this family, as much as it's like there is an intensity with the way we get up into each character's face and emotions, and Jackie's face when she's acting in the movie. Josie, the scene where you are on the roof, I was so stressed with you on that roof as a parent, but also like hated that character. You're amazing, but that character.
I actually wanted to say for a moment when Josie walked in, I did not recognize you because you're such a bright, lovely young person coming into this room. And I associate Audrey with something a lot grosser and
it's really triggering, isn't it?
I mean, that's good.
So back to Natalie. There is an intensity where I feel like, yeah, it's a comedy, yeah, it's a dark comedy, but like at times it was almost like a horror movie. There was so much tension. Right. Can we start there with your storytelling?
It was really important for us that it had that journey, that it went from comedy to horror. So in a way we had to track that so that you could get there in the end. For Lou and I and for the cast, keeping it honest was really important to us. So as much as there's jokes, there's comic writing, it has to be real and authentic. And so making sure that the characters are all really grounded and you know, that it is an intense character. When Josie did the audition, we were actually scared of her. So it was really easy to shape. We were like,
oh. We were on the phone and we were like, both Natalie and I were just like,
yeah,
yeah, cool, so I'm upset.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, tonally, like, reading the audition scenes and the script and whatever, it was like, oh, like, it, on one hand, like, on the page, it reads very naturalistically. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I read it and I was like, the only way I'm going to book this job is if I sell that naturalism to its most extreme, because that's where the film is pitched. Mm. It, I mean, like, as in, that's where Audrey is pitched, and also that is where Jackie is pitched within the world of what she is capable of as a character. And we, and Audrey and Ronnie live in two different tonal worlds, and so the comedy of the film comes from Jackie's, like, bravado, but that's her believed world, and then the contrast of, like, Audrey's just trying her best to get taken seriously, and that's hilarious. Like, teenagers need to take themselves a lot less seriously.
Well, do you need to take yourself a lot less seriously?
I knew I was old. Yeah. But for the putting your child in a coma, I was Team Audrey every... not Team Audrey, Team Jack, so Ronnie.
I love that you were like Team Ronnie and then Audrey. And
Ronnie, Audrey. I mean, it's cool. She's pretending to be Audrey. But I'm like, I completely understand Ronnie.
Yeah, right?
And that is an ungrateful child.
Oh, I'm a parent, and I was like, yeah, coma away.
I have a question for you, Lou, being the writer.
Why?
Yeah. No. Well, no. So one of the things that we loved so much about how the film unfolds are the reveals about each of the characters and how that's paced out, that we don't get all of the information up front. So at first we think the dad is having an affair and maybe struggling with his sexual orientation, but the way that the information gets revealed is so satisfying, and I feel that with, like, all of, you know, the information throughout the film and the characters, especially around how the whole family really feels about Audrey and what they really want to see done. So can you talk to us a little bit about, like, crafting this story and getting there?
I think, like, when you talk about those specific character needs and wants, that comes from and in part of the writing process with everyone that was involved, and that and the feedback and that was that every pass that I did, I concentrated on one character in particular in each pass. So every pass was somebody else's focus, so whether it was Ronnie, and then we'd do that, and then we'd realize what the gaps were with, say, Cormac's character. So we had to go back in and then fill those gaps in, and then we'd realize, oh, hang on, now we've got gaps with Nora's reveal as well. So then we'll go back and do a pass that was entirely, like, devoted to each character at each time. Obviously, Nora was a lot of work, you know.
You are half joking, but you're also not joking.
We had to do a bit of shaping of Nora so that the things that Nora was doing were things I, as an actor, were actually physically capable of doing. Like, I think there was one pass of the script where you had Nora doing a roundhouse kick, and I was
I did.
Look,
and I still stand by that, Hannah.
I can do all sorts of fun things, but that one is... That's a little bit outside my wheelhouse.
I did annoy you, though, because Hannah's like, all right, well, she'll play tennis. And I was like, no, she won't.
No.
I'll find something else.
She'll fence and give the girl with no motor skills a blunt sword and hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that did give me one of the greatest moments of comic relief, I think, was that scene with the homemade, like, the colander on my head and the socks. And it was just like... What am I doing? What has led to this moment that I'm sitting here with a colander on my head?
What was great was to give you working with Hannah and stuff like that, we'd give her physical comedy. You know, there's actually a lot of physical comedy in the film and that. And I think, you know, can't undersell the fact that it was really important that Nora also had a physical element to it as well. You know, and, like, Cormac was actually the one that we kept going back to a lot as well, because obviously there's a real honesty and truth to his character that is slightly different to that you were talking about the affair and everything before. It was always very important that sexuality in this film is viewed always through a really positive prism. Mm-hmm. So it was important that it was never a punishment and stuff like that. So, you know, that's the sort of thing that you got to go back and make sure. Are we hitting that point at every single time? When you talk about comedy, it's not very funny, is it?
Well, speaking speaking about physical comedy and Cormac's character, I mean, dude, that, you know what's funny is second movie with a fleshlight scene that I've seen for South by Southwest this year. So I wasn't even, I was like, wow, I guess fleshlights are in.
In fact, they don't vibrate naturally. You have to put a vibrator in there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the one in this other movie.
Behind the scenes craziness.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, so you have to do this with Josie playing your daughter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Walking in on you. That is a nightmare scenario, which I think you...
Being a father of two daughters, I can't wait for the day that they see this film.
It's going to be,
such a proud moment. Yeah, they're way too young now.
Okay, all joking aside, it's an incredible misdirect, though, because here we're seeing this character who we're supposed to be thinking is this moment of shame, and maybe there's the sexual shame and all of that, and we're misled throughout the whole movie. That's not the issue at all. And you sell it in that moment of being caught, and I feel like that sticks with me. I think Cormac is, I mean, Nora's pretty sympathetic, and I would say the closest is the hero in a lot of ways. But,
oh, yeah.
But in my rankings of people I want to see happy at the end of this movie, it goes Nora, and then it goes Cormac.
Yeah.
And
that was my ranking too. I Nora
gets a friend.
Wow, the disabled girl gets a friend.
big goals.
But like I have this immense sympathy for you because of the way you're introduced. Now you got to bang a fleshlight, but you got to make it sympathetic. Like as an actor, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Tell us about it. Sorry. Is that shitty? Like you're like, I make this whole movie, I have this incredible performance that's sensitive with love and that, and the first thing they want to know is like, how do I get to the emotional space for the American Pie scene?
You describe it as banging a fleshlight, and the poor guy can't bang a fleshlight with a flaccid penis. His issue is he can't get an erection. That's how depressed and that's how unhappy he is with himself. His sexuality, his job, his life, his detachment from his entire family. So yeah, it's his which I kind of find all the characters they're all just trying to reinvent themselves, or for the children trying to have an actual identity, for the Ronnie and Cormac trying to reinvent themselves. They used to be fun. Ronnie and Cormac used to. They used to be swingers. Mm. They were fun. And now they're not. And
a lot of it's even like rebooting or refinding rather than reinventing for these, you know, for them. Yeah, reconnection to what they were.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to be friends with Cormac so badly halfway through this movie. I was like, I want to hang out with this guy. Look at him. Look at him. He's making movies. He's not judging the Christian porn, which, by the way, I think I missed the detail, or maybe like I just like, or it was the accent. But then Allie's sitting next to me in bed, and I'm watching this. I'm like, Allie, there's a biblical porn scene in this movie, and he's getting into it. No judgment. He's helping direct the movie. I just think he's just such a lovely dude.
Yeah, thank you. I do too. It was an absolute honor. When the first time I read the script and auditioned, I said to my agent, I have to make this mine. Like it's.
And you did.
Yeah.
And I did, and thank you for that, because yeah, he's a complex, beautiful man. I had to look up pansexual. I didn't understand what that was.
The love of pans.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of other metal.
You sold it beautiful.
Everything.
Yeah.
And everyone and everything. And, yeah, it was about him finding the love for everything again, I think.
So, like, I'm looking into your eyes right now, and I'm thinking about how his happiness is charted through your eyes, through the movie, which I really, like, him getting caught, then him being happy and being engaged. Like, right? Are you feeling? I mean, these are some magic eyes right
they
now.
They are magic eyes.
It's an audio podcast.
I felt it as soon as Jeremy walked in the room. Like, Tractor beam eyes.
Okay.
It's easy to capture like that. To us, it was, we wanted to stay on him at the end. You wanted to finish your scene, just even when Jeremy takes a sip of coffee, it's got so much in it. there's so much.
Those group scenes with Aaron as well, confessing and stuff. Oh God, it's so.
You're with him.
So right.
But I feel like it's important to mention, and we hadn't talked about mentioning this before, but Jeremy actually wrote
his pornos. Yeah, you did.
The scenes, like...
The biblical...
Yeah,
he wrote Cain and Abel. Oh, my God, that's Cain and amazing. Anal.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is...
South by Southwest 25. Loved.
I believe it.
The midnight shards are close.
Yeah.
And then he came up with the title, and then you went away, and you were like, "Can I write the scene?"
I love that. Yeah,
that's awesome. I love that. Okay, we got to get to
sibling. We got to get to the sibling because we're siblings.
Because you had Aaron, beautiful Aaron, and you guys are best friends.
Aaron
in
Farther,
personal life.
We were, we were old mates, and which made him. Get him over the line, I think, to sign on to do it.
It helped that it was you.
Yeah.
All right. Like shooting in like remote rural Queensland, it's like nice to have like a friend.
All right, let's talk to the siblings.
Yeah. Siblings.
This is
real siblings, fake siblings.
Nora, Josie, Nora, Audrey, Nora and Audrey.
Oh,
sorry,
Nora, there's a lot of.
Yeah,
that's true.
No.
So,
who are you and what have you done with Audrey?
Not here.
So,
she was never real.
Where's the catch? Where's the trap?
Nora strikes me as the happiest, most secure person who is most like waving their hands saying, "Hey guys, I know what I want to be. You're all miserable. Can you just help me be who I want to be?" How did you channel that, convey that, build that in your mind as an actor?
Well, I feel like I have to explain that I am a baby actor. So this was my first film, and I haven't actually been to, like, acting school or anything. Like, these guys found me because I was doing press for another TV show that I was in, and they saw me talking about it on, like, our morning television over in Australia, and they were like, "Yeah, we think she's got the same sense of humor as Nora," which I'm not sure if that's a compliment or.
Oh no, your comic timing is amazing.
So good, amazing.
Thank you very much. But yeah, for me, it was really interesting because I think so often disabled characters are written as like these sad, very removed from the real world kind of things, and they're painted as being happy or somewhat like forced, I guess, to look at life through a window rather than be out there in it. Whereas Nora is the exact opposite. Like she's there with a sword going, "Let me at it, let me at it, let me at it." And I think that's just so refreshing and so interesting. And it's going to make a lot of audiences think about that kind of thing in a different way. And I did some things as Nora that I never thought I would do, including the fencing and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I just, that was all new to me. And getting to explore her physicality, as Lou was saying earlier, is also something that's new to me. And it was something that I found really special because often that's not a part of myself that I get to explore.
I remember even the night we did the dance. It was the first time that Hannah had danced on a stage in front of people. And
the dance is an amazing scene.
I was so nervous about that scene. I kept going to Natalie. I'm like, "I hate you for making me do this."
You told us you hated us so many times.
Right. Yeah, she hates us.
Yeah, no, I was like, "Really?" And they're there with the choreographer. And I'm like, my body and choreography do not mix, like what? And then we did the dance, and I was really lucky to have some incredible scene partners in that dance. Jean de St. James and Tiari Brooks, who play Irene and Andy, respectively. Mm-hmm. And they were really great at making me feel like it was just the three of us being silly, and then, oh, there happens to be a camera there. but I haven't seen what it looks like yet, so I'm interested to know.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You have nothing to worry about. It's incredible. Okay, we got to get to Josie because here is the person who plays Audrey, who is like the absolute, well, not the worst villain because Max is the worst.
Whoa, okay.
Max. Fraser was here to hear you say that, like,
that. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah. He's the worst. But you're, like, so gracious, okay? Here she's, we're not doing a video, but, like, Josie's holding the microphone and letting everybody speak.
It wouldn't be in good if I didn't.
you have to play, like, I assume, like, the worst Gen Z person ever.
I don't even know if the TikTok videos are in the final edit.
Your one is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yes.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of the, like, you know, the, anyways. Because there's the, they show the, yeah, they yes. show the videos. With the TikTok, yes. the sort of TikTok-esque videos.
Yes. I
assume you're of that generation. Maybe.
Actually, 45.
You look the same age. You look the same age. My wife is.
We had the effects. A lot of the effects on her face, even now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, like, what's that like playing, like, the villain version of your generation? You know? And not being that way, because my assumption is you are not that way, based on meeting you for 20 minutes.
I mean, like, I hate everything about, like, the social media world of that the generation that we're in and the time period that we're in. And, like, I'm really fascinated with how it, up until now, has, like, complemented the film industry for so long. And now people in the film industry are starting to kind of wake up and appreciate that it sort of detracts attention from what they really intended to do with film and with television. And, like, I would really sit on the fence about the positive, whether it is a positive or whether or not it just gives people a kind of, like, fisheye lens on the algorithm and, like, you know. And so, like, our film, like, I'm so awesome to be at South By because, like, it's independent and it's made by women and it's, like, it needs a platform that's real and physical and it's really, really cool. But this is a side rant about social media. I could go on. I could go on.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love criticizing it, especially because, like, America, whoa.
LA,
what the hell? I've never seen it.
Well, we're very East Coast, so, you know.
We're
a little different. Okay, and the end of this movie is so freaking fearless.
Yeah.
Back to where we started. I feel like, I know we probably have to wrap in a minute, but I want to start finish where we started, which is this is a movie where we, as baby movie makers, we just looked at each other and we were like, God damn it, they made the movie they wanted to make. And Audrey, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but, you know, it's an intense ending for Audrey. Did anyone try to talk you out? I guess not, because these are all the people who made the movie.
Yes.
Did anyone try to talk you out of the ending?
No. We had different endings. Like, we had. It was a bit dark. We won't say what. But so, you know, during this process, we went through several different endings to see which one. And so, producers, script editor Lou, myself would talk through as to, and just try to work out where is the best way for it to land. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you landed.
It's a hard one to write. You know what I mean?
You
really got to pay the film.
You
nailed it.
You landed the moon on a thing, like, in the, like, the target and the threading and all the metaphors.
Yeah.
You moved it because we were just in shock and also, like, we're
so,
like,
satisfied.
So satisfied.
Oh, good.
So satisfied.
It's a dramatic movie. Actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's a, yeah.
Well, we always love to end. We gotta go. We always love to get people. So even though we love your movie, we are fans of all movies, and we the best thing about South By is people here have the best taste. We have so much fun talking to the people. I would love to go around and get, like, a recommendation from someone from anyone, everyone. It doesn't have to be at South By. It can be something you're watching at home. It can be the movie you watched on the plane that you like want people to see. Like I would say to people, you got to see Audrey when it's widely available because it's so rad. Does anyone want to go first? Because I realize that's a tough. I'm the only one who like has constant diarrhea of the recommendations, so I'm just able to.
I really want to see Alice Lowe's new one, the follow-up to Prevent, as a Time Watcher or Time. Yeah.
Oh, that's on the. That's here.
That's here.
Yeah, that's here. Okay.
I'm excited South about that.
South. Oh, you're going with the South. Lou's going with the South by Southwest theme.
Yeah, Alice Lowe, you know, like amazing comedic actress as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's also quite.
That one looks really weird.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
She does. Like Garth Murray. Like, yeah,
She pushes it.
She pushes it.
Yeah, she did Sightseers. Yeah.
Yeah, Sightseers. Yeah, she's really cool.
I saw We Were Dangerous yesterday and really
amazing.
That. Yeah, that was great.
Incredible.
Really lovely. The women in the three girls, and it just had such a beautiful connection that you really celebrated with them at times when they were celebrating. You wanted them to win, so that was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful, beautiful, satisfying movie. I feel like, Josie, you were about to give us a recommendation.
Oh, is the question a recommendation?
Yeah. Like, what should people watch or listen to?
Excited to see, or...
And it could be, but it doesn't have to be at South by Southwest, although that's the theme here, but it could just be like, oh, I watched this cool TikTok video and everyone should not know.
I mean, I'm keen to see Alex Garland's new film, Civil War.
Oh, yeah, that looks intense.
Terrifying. I think.
That's like.
Because, like, it's not that far off.
No, I know. We're, like, genuinely afraid. I have.
My house, and that movie scares me. I'm like, it feels way too close to home. I'm like,
yeah.
We could see that off in the.
Have you guys seen it already?
No.
Okay.
I actually am not going to see it.
No, I'll see it.
Oh, really? My wife will see it for me. There are certain places. We watched a movie last night. Holy crap, this movie, Oddity, scared the living day. Like, it was really? Like being on the down part of a roller coaster for 90 minutes. Amazing. Everybody was screaming. No, and it's not gory. Like,
fully it's shrieking and screaming.
That's exciting.
So I'm fine with that.
Is it sci-fi? Or,
no, it's a ghost story. Okay. It's a ghost story, mystery.
Oh, no, thanks. Yeah.
The sound design's out of control. So I'll go see that. But, like, quasi just about realistic to my country falling apart movie, falling apart, I'm afraid of.
Like, I don't want
to
see shark movies.
Well, I actually watched... What did you say now?
I don't want to see shark movies because I'm in the ocean.
I actually totally binge-watched... It's out in the U.S., The Three Women. Did you guys see that?
You see that? No.
It's like... It's really, really good. It's like, it basically follows the story. It's like, what's Shailene Woodley? Is that how you say it?
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically, I don't know if you guys know, it's based on the book by Lisa Tadeo.
Yes.
We got it here first, like here as in Australia first, for some weird reason. So it hasn't come out in the US yet, but it's some of the most, like, intense performances I think I've seen in terms of material.
Yeah.
And it makes some of the scenes that we do in Audrey look like child's play, where I'm like, how do you feel comfortable doing that as an actor? Like, wow. Yeah. But I think for me, as a movie recommendation, I'm going to go adjacent to South by Southwest and pick a gem from someone I know is from Austin, Texas. And I'm going to say that if you haven't seen, like, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Linklater films, you need to go and do that. I just recently watched Before Sunrise for the first time, and I was like, where has this movie been? What's going on?
We remember when that came out.
Yes.
Linklater is part of our... I saw School of Rock in the theater when it came out.
Absolutely.
Jeremy's your last one.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go and see... is it Bird Eater?
Yeah.
This afternoon at 2:30.
That's an Australian film, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend that, but I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. Justin Kurzel's Nitram is a pretty amazing film that just came to my mind because it just was mind-blowing. So check that out if you can.
That's awesome.
You have
to
see that. Everyone here has to see
All right.
That, like, hands down.
Not a comedy.
Definitely not a comedy.
Not a comedy.
Well, we want to thank you so much. And we also just want to thank your country on behalf of our parents, because I think they've watched every single Australian TV show ever made.
Wow.
And
they're planning this whole...
trip. And they're like, Hugh Jackman was at a farm. We need to see a farm in that show that he sent.
So talking Neighbors and Home and Away and stuff like that, or
they watched that for sure. They watched the one about
Rake. Yes.
Rake. They watched the most recent one that's like a spin-off of Australia, the movie with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman. Yes. Is that
Far away down.
See, it. Isn't there one like about the Jewish woman?
I don't know, but they watch all these.
Anyways, they have their pulse on the fingers of Australian film, and I tip my hat to your like country's film industry and television industry.
Because Jeremy's one of our like stalwarts. Like,
oh well, yeah. Well they're gonna dig Audrey. They're big film buffs. So thank you so much to the Audrey family for being a part of our show and being a part of our family.
Check it out.
Thank you for listening to Friday Night Movie, the sibling rivalry and pop culture podcast. Join the Friday Night Movie family by following @FryNightMovie on all of the socials and visiting our website, FryNightMovie.com. Our theme song is by What Does It Eat? And make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Friday.